Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time on this website, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. On this website, there's a lot of sermons, so, and all this is free, so you just go through them. I got some devotionals that I share on here throughout the week. Not every day, but throughout, you know, I read something and I just want to put it on there. And because I felt led by the Holy Spirit to put it on there, and you check those out, and I pray that that helps, especially in these times where it's rough out there, this journey that we're in. A few Bible studies on here, not many, but there's a few on here. All is free. Check out all these resources. If you do need to contact me, there's several ways that you can contact me through this website. There's a email link. That email, you just subject heading is your typical format. Most of us are familiar with that kind of format, and we're in a digital age. A lot of this is pretty common. Just in your subject heading, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. That's if it goes into my spam mail. I only check my spam mail once a month. So if it goes in my spam mail, I won't see it probably for almost a month. If you put Crucify for Christ Ministry, it's more likely to go into my main emails, and I'll be able to address that. Probably the quickest way for now to get a hold of me is through Facebook. So you don't have to be part of my friends to send me a private message, a PM. A short PM message, private message to me, any questions that you may have reading this, listen to a sermon that God has given me, or a devotional that I posted. All these devotions I posted, I don't write them, but it's all, a lot of the ministries that I listen to, they'd be okay with me sharing their stuff. They don't care. A lot of them just want people to find Jesus, and man, that's kind of what the one part of this ministry is to help people find Jesus, and the other one is close to my heart is learning to be a disciple for Jesus, learning how to live a crucified life for Jesus. That's really missing today, is to understand it's not about us. And that goes against what's preached in the majority of the churches in America. It's about how Jesus can use us to reach others, for us to crucify ourselves daily with the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in the light that He has for us that day. That's really the heartbeat of this ministry. I pray that that you share that with me, especially, and if you're new to this, I may be talking about stuff that you may have never heard of, and then you may have heard the terminology, but you really don't understand what that means. Encourage you. I preached quite a few sermons on that throughout this ministry. I got salvation messages on here, spiritual warfare messages on here. All check them out. Check them all out. But quickest way, Facebook. I'm on Twitter a little bit, Instagram a little bit, but you can reach through me through those social media ways. I say Twitter, but it's X now, right? And of course, some of you guys that I know and trust, you have my personal phone number, so you can text me or call me anytime. We are continuing our preaching or teaching sermon series and Psalms. The Holy Spirit really pressed my heart to go through the book of Psalms, which is a challenge, right? 150 Psalms. But I love, it's probably my favorite book in the Old Testament is the Psalms, because I've talked about this at the very beginning. It's a book that helps us grab on to that hope that's in God, and to press on in hard times. And I believe harder times are coming, especially here in America. I believe majority of the churches out there are not teaching or preaching on the topic that we will experience intense tribulations, right? Tense trials for our faith. I believe next year will be worse than this year. A lot of people will want to disagree with me, and that's okay. Hold on. Find it. I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm not, are you prepared for times that you have never seen in your life to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ? We need to get that in our hearts, in our mind, in our practice as we walk through this world. And learning the Psalms, and that's what I kind of titled this huge series that the Lord wants me to take on. And I pray for it's all said and done, I can go through all 150 Psalms before, and kind of, it's kind of, I guess you could say, conspiracy theory for the internet to take it down, are limited to some of us, are blocked that I can preach. But the good news is I have all my notes as I go, so I can always preach this on the streets. I can preach this in person at a church, and they will always, I will always have my notes. I have hard copies of them. That's the beautiful thing of this. Even if the internet is taken down and this website don't exist anymore, God accomplished for the brief time I had on here to reach whoever He needs me to reach. And I pray that you guys don't take this content for granted. We'll write it down. As I say always, you can all take it, use it, write it down, keep it. We can listen to these sermons as many times as you want, but hold on to God's word and cling to it. Cling to His word more than you cling to any man's word. That's the important. We're in a society today where we cling to a man's word that speaks, that is not speaking godly words. Then we will cling to the word of God, and it's all said and done. If anything, cling to God's word. I am a man, I will fail you. I am flesh. I pray to the Lord daily to keep my heart, to guide my heart, to direct me in the steps that He has for me, and to keep wherever, you know, my flesh, keep it where it needs to be crucified for Him. But learning Psalms, so Psalm 7 was last week. We'll be in Psalms 8 this week, or today. So this is Psalms 8, and we're going to get through this whole psalm. Psalm 8, the kind of the main thrust of this message, the key to this message, the part I want you to, if you're taking physical notes, I encourage you to take physical notes, but maybe some of you guys are really good mentally, take mental notes, is this: cultivating a life of praise regardless of our circumstances. Cultivating a life of praise regardless of our circumstances. Let's read through this psalm. But I want you to kind of keep that in your mindset as we go through this psalm. And that central question here is that you can follow up with that. Cultivating a life of praise regardless of circumstance is this: how can I cultivate a life of praise regardless of my circumstances? That's kind of the applicational part of this message. How can I cultivate a life of praise regardless of my circumstances? Let's read this beautiful psalm and just take that into heart as we read this. And we're going to go more in detail on this. on that topic here. The chief musician upon Giftus, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man, what thou art mindful of him, the son of man, thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou madest him to have the dominion over the works of thy hands, that has put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passed through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, Holy Spirit, just guide as you see fit. Lord, let your word go through me to those that are hearing. Lord, I pray that whoever's hearing this, that they receive the message that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart, that they will not close their ears, but they will open their ears and their hearts will be receptive to this message, and that they will cling to this message today, this week, to the very end, to understand that in this day we're living, the times that we are living, we will have hard times, and there will be challenging times. But if we cling to you through our praise and lift your name above any other, you will give us strength from the Holy Spirit flowing through us to press on regardless of what's going on around us that could be so challenging, so devastating. But we can be like Job and just keep pressing on. Keeping our eyes firmly placed on you through all of it. Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for those that may be going through things in their life. They may be feeling the isolation from their family, from their friends, from those around us, from the workplace. God, we lift him up in your holy name. We know that Satan uses isolation, separation, to make us feel like we are alone. But if we are children of God, we are never alone. We have the Holy Spirit that is the ultimate comforter living inside of us to help us endure isolation if necessary. But we can also pray that, Lord, place like believers on fire with your word to come into our lives so we can join fellowship with him as iron sharpened iron to walk through this world as a light shining among the darkness, bursting the chains of the enemy upon those that we encounter, to tell them the hope that's living in us, a hope that this world cannot fully understand. Holy Spirit, I pray for those that may be under the weather, they may not be feeling good. God, we lift them up to you, God. We know that you have a healing hand that can touch them, God, and remove anything that is going on in their life. Lord, we just pray once again that you just move as you see fit through this series. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in Psalm 8, most of our Bibles, they will have this transcript or this subscript at the very beginning. A good study Bible will have that, and I read that piece here. Is the chief musician up on Gittis or Giftis, a Psalm of David. That word Gittis, what are some of your other Bibles may have gaff. Reality, we truly do not know what this word is referring to. Looking at other Bible commentaries that I trust, I would say it's a good. They make a good case that this was an instrument. What instrument? We really don't know, but it would make sense that these psalms were designed to be played and sung with music. So it would make sense this would be an instrument. But what we do know, God placed this psalm on David's heart. He wrote this psalm for others to realize his Lord, his God, the only one that needs to be lifted up with praise. And what's amazing, David's Lord is our Lord. If you're truly a believer, we can sing this praise to the Lord, and we can show others that our Lord deserves all the praise in this journey in life. Because there will be times, and some of you guys may have ever experienced hard times. If not, I promise you it will come. And in those hard times, it's hard to praise the Lord. In those deep, dark valleys where the pain sits in and the struggle is real, it is hard to praise the Lord. But if we get this, even in the valley, to cultivate a life of praise, regardless of our circumstances. Cultivating a life of praise, regardless of our circumstances. We will press through those hard times with the light of the Holy Spirit pouring through us. And I pray that that's the purpose and the thrust of this sermon, our teaching series in Psalm 8 right here today is to say, do you have do you have a life of cultivating, a life of praise, regardless of what you're going through? And I pray that when it's all said and done, that you'll have a little bit better understanding of what it means to cultivate a life of praise, regardless of your circumstances in this life. Here in verse 1, David opens this psalm by saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. I love how he begins this. He says, O Lord, our Lord. What is David doing here? He is pointing to the Lord that is mighty. He's pointing to the one that holds our tomorrow. He's pointing to the one that created the heaven and the earth. But he's also pointing to a God who understands and cares for his people. He is saying that the Lord is mighty and great and holy. But he is not distant. He wants to hear from his people. He wants to hear from his creation. Not because he needs to. No, he is God and we are not. God wants us to humble ourselves before him. Before his greatness. And surrender our heart, soul, and mind completely and utterly. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5 says here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Matthew 22:37-38 says this, "Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And you can read in Mark 12:30 and Luke 10:27 that repeats this. This thought of loving God with everything we got. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. And here in Psalm, David's indirectly echoing this in the Psalm, that we should love God with all that we have. He should be the first and everything is second. Here, this is how we begin to cultivate a life of praise. To understand that He comes first. All of our dreams, our purposes, our goals, our way, our direction in this life does not mean anything unless Jesus Christ is at the center. I know this goes against most of the popular messages or the gospel, that this false gospel has been taught and popularized as pop psychology gospel that centers on me. It's all about my needs, my goals, my purpose, my dreams. And God can take a back seat unless I need Him for something, and then I'll call His name. I see this embrace the majority of the churches, especially here in America, with the gospel itself and not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want Jesus Christ to praise them instead of us humbling our hearts down and surrendering our life every day to Him by saying, "Your way, Yahweh." We make Him number one. Everything else is second, third, or fourth. Whatever God allows to have in our life, if it's a material wise, we don't covet that to ourselves. I want to tell you today, many today that God has placed in their life, maybe it's a form of wealth. Majority of them are coveting that to themselves. Let me say, if God has blessed you with a way of making money and you're good at it, and I believe that's a blessing, what are you doing with that? Are you coveting that to yourself? Are you heaping the treasures of this life? And that's between you and God, but I won't tell you. God's word tells us the treasures of your heart, right? Look at where you spend majority of your money. And that will tell you exactly where you are with God. There's many ministries out there that are replicable, that need funding. And the sad truth, when you look at the ones that shouldn't be getting funding, they're getting a ton of it. Look at the ministries like Joel Osteen, Kenny Copeland, Clef Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Steve Furtick. Man, the list just is so many. I could go probably spend about an hour going over, and it seems the list grows and grows. Anlie Stanley. These guys have no problem getting people to contribute to their ministries. When truly these guys are so away from the gospel that they need to be defunded. It just tells us the time we're living in. A self-gospel is popular. I want it to be all about me. It works. That's why the guys I just mentioned and the girls or the women that I mentioned are worth millions. This gospel that they preach that is false, it sells. But gospel preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ don't sell. A gospel that tells us that we are supposed to humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to a holy God. That He comes first and everything else comes second. If my dreams, my purposes, my goals don't match up with His, I don't want nothing to do with it. Get rid of it. If it don't line up with Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I want to tell you, my friend, that don't sell. Even somebody that may be listening to this eventually in the future, this will cut deep. And you may tune me out and go your own way and do your thing. I promise you, in the end, if you hear this and you tune it out, that's between you and God will handle you later. In this life or the next, I pray that He handles you in this life. Because in the next, He'll say, depart from me. He'll send you because you have asked yourself. You have decided to go down that wide path instead of the narrow. And you have made that decision to go to hell. And He will honor your decision by granting what you wanted. Not what He wanted for you, but what you wanted. Our God gives us a choice, heaven or hell. He placed men like me in your path and others to give you the truth. You accept it or reject it. We can't do nothing with that. All we can do is tell you what God has laid on our heart to speak to you. And thank God for these platforms that I can reach into this and do this online and share it through this website. And hope that somebody will hear it and it will change their life. But to cultivate a life of praise is to understand that He comes first and everything else is second, third, and fourth. And I love how David continues in this verse 1. He says, how excellent is thy name, your name, in all earth. Our hearts should skip a beat because we have God who is so great, but a God who wants to hear from us. A God who wants to hear from His children. Never think God does not want to hear from you. Do not let Satan, his demons, fill your heart, your mind, your heart with that lie that God is too distant from you and does not care for you. Our enemy, well, his MO is this. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The adversary here, the devil, Satan, his demons, they want to destroy everything about you. But here it says, be sober, be vigilant. How do we become sober? How do we become vigilant? We put God first. We put God first. Right? And when we put God first, what is that reflected from our life? That's reflective of our life of being in God's Word daily. Not just 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, but our day is saturated throughout our day with God's Word. We have so many ways to be saturated with God's Word. A lot of times at work, I have earbuds in and I do maintenance. So as I'm working on somebody's home, I can listen to an auto Bible, or I can listen to a Christian podcast, or I can listen to a prayer, or I can listen to, it's amazing, right? So throughout the day, even if my hands are tied up and I'm in something, I have my earbuds and I'm in tune with, I could read through Genesis or listen to Genesis in one day easily, and or even two books a day, and this is amazing with technology, right? And but I want to be in tune with God's word. See, when we put God first, we're seeking to be in tune with Him. And I pray that you are. And when we're in tune, the Holy Spirit in us, we're abiding first. We're abiding. That's awesome. But we're getting deeper connected with God through His Word. Not through what a man is saying, but through God's Word. And I pray that you're memorizing Scripture. That's very important to go throughout the day and memorizing Scripture, chapters or books, to have God's Word so deeply flowing through us, is saturated through our day. This is how we draw near. This is how we become sober. This is how we become vigilant. And our prayer life just flows with that. Through His Word, we are men and women of prayer, and we seek His direction daily. We become sober and vigilant, and we understand we have a real enemy, a real threat, and his name is Satan. And he has many demons that he knows how to use. He knows how to direct. He's been doing it a long time. If you don't believe me, you can flip over there to Genesis, which we have talked about. And you can look at the fall of humanity. The original sin. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not," that thief is referring again to the devil, to Satan, "but to do what? To steal and to kill and destroy." Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And one way he does that is to make you feel like God is distant from you, that he's not listening to you. But Jesus tells us here in John 10:10, that second part of this, "I am came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That tells us there's a God that does not want to be distant from us. We get this. We can distance ourselves from a holy God. We can distance ourselves by the way we live our life. If you're living your life in that center, it's all about me, 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 me. It's about what I can, all the stuff I can gain in this world, that I can heap it under my feet or under my life. You know, I have this place, this nice house or this mansion, or I have multiple bank accounts, or I have multiple cars. I'm heaping all this thing, all these riches to myself. And I could care less about anything about the gospel. I could care less about anything. And you can even profess it to know Jesus. I want to tell you, you don't truly know who Jesus Christ is. And I know that can cut, and that may not make you very happy. But didn't Jesus say, "Where your treasures lie, that's where your heart will be"? Didn't he talk about the rich man that had plenty to put in his barns, and then he had surplus, right? And then what did he do? He built more barns instead of reaching out. We are supposed to reach out. You know me, this ministry, I don't ask for money. So you can't accuse me of trying to tell you to put into this ministry. I thought about, you know, maybe putting something on here and I haven't done it yet, but you can't accuse me of asking for money. So I know immediately when I start people start talking like this, like, oh, this guy's trying to ask for money. No, there's plenty of ministries out there that one may be donating to that are so corrupt and so far removed from God. And I want you to examine when you're looking at ministries that you are investing in, see what are they about. Are they truly about the gospel? Are they truly about spreading that hope, but that's in Jesus Christ? And when we talk about hope, we talk about eternal damnation, right? We talk about Satan, how he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we talk about how he's a roaring lion. And we talk about how he wants to make us feel like we're hopeless. And we talk about how he knows how to twist God's word. We also talk about the cross, and we talk about how God sent his only begotten son to this world, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him what might be saved. And he that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believed not is condemned already, because why? He has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. That faith, that belief, to believe in God, that he sent Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to a Virgin Mary, to walk this earth, to die on a cross that was meant for a criminal. He died a criminal death, having no sin in his life. He was that perfect Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus, he said, "Here is the Lamb of God." The Lamb. He's pointing to the Passover. He's pointing to the Old Testament. He's pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. Here is Jesus Christ from the words of the prophets themselves that has come to die for the sins of this world. Here is the Lamb of God. He died on that tree. The blood was shed for my atonement, for my remission of sin. Oh, how precious the blood of Jesus Christ. His grace and mercy flow from a love I can't even express. Amazing it is, I can only say, that will change your heart and your mind, and you can't help but tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to tell somebody of the hope that transformed your whole life. Oh, you were old, but now you're new. You're sanctified with the word of truth, placed in the grave and rose from the grave that third day. He is risen. Oh, how precious is to know that this life, this physical life, is nothing but just a period of point in our life that is beyond what we can imagine when we close our eyes and wake it up into eternity. If we are truly a child of God, what's waiting for us beyond what we can imagine, heaven beyond what we can imagine, unspeakable joy on what we can imagine. But if we don't, the hell that will happen is the opposite of heaven, the torment and the suffering and the screaming for eternity, praying for help, but it will never come, because you have given the opportunity in this lifetime to come to him. And you choose to reject the true gospel, to recognize that the sin in your life, God is not okay with the sin of harping wealth and keeping it for yourself. That is sinful. That's idolatry. And God tells us he is a jealous God, meaning he is a God with intense love for us, that he does not want us to go to hell. But we have to recognize we are sinners, right? We have to recognize, left to our own devices, we will mess up every time. We have to recognize the old life that we once were in before Christ. We are new in Him, right? We are new creatures, born again. Sanctify the truth. Crucify to Him. Realize every day as a child of God, we have to wake up and die to ourselves, as Paul said. To crucify that flesh. To say, God, not my way, but Yours. God, not my direction, but Yours. See, when we start doing that, what happens? We start cultivating a life of praise. And when we're cultivating this life of praise, whatever comes our way, the hard times that may hit us, we will press on. Why? Because our roots are firmly in the ground. Deep in the ground. That holy ground. With that living water flowing through us. And when the wind and the storms come and try to shake us down, our roots are firmly not in ourselves. Because we are weak. He is strong. It's in Jesus Christ. It's all Him. We humble ourselves. We surrender ourselves to Him. We are helpless without Him. Verse 2 says, and out of the mouth of babes and sucking has thy ordained strength because of thy enemies. And thou must steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling. Meaning, David's comparing the babies. They're still they're still dependent on their mama. They're still requiring nutrients from their mama. They're still needing their diapers changed from their mama. See, David had children. He was seeing his babies dependent on their mother. He is looking at himself and how dependent he is on God. I want to tell you, I'm an old country boy. And then we have a country saying out here. You might have heard this saying. We can get too big for our britches. I mean, we can think we got this. And that we can do this life all by ourselves. And we don't need any help from anyone. I want to tell you that's a recipe for disaster. Especially when we tell God, just step aside, I got this. It's a recipe for disaster. My heart breaks for ministries that try to tell God what to do. They want to command a holy God to do their biddings. I want to tell you, it was not for God's mercy and grace. We could not even put our own clothes on in the morning or whatever time you may get up. But these guys who are trying to command God, we're just mere ants to a holy and righteous God. And I pray that they repent and they turn these ministries. And are you, if you're like that, I'm going to command God to do my bidding. I'll tell you, these ministries are far removing you, if you have that thought, are far removed from a God who is who has so much grace and mercy for you. Because He could strike you dead right where you stand. Don't think He can't. Look at Acts. And that this wasn't in my notes, but Sophias, Ananias, right? They lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened to them? They dropped dead. People say, oh, I want an Acts church. No, you don't want an Acts church. Because there's many people within our church, and I would say vast majority, that are lying to the Holy Spirit. They appear to be something on Sunday than they are the rest of the week. I've said this multiple times. If we truly had an Acts church, we'd be bulldozing bodies out of churches. And churches would be closing their doors because the pastors up there preaching would fall dead too. You don't want an Acts church. Be careful praying that. Because you may drop dead right where you stand. Our life is supposed to match up, right? We're not supposed to be living two different lives. We're not supposed to be double agents. Didn't James tell us? I didn't have that in my notes, but I'm gonna flip through it to it. It's James. James 1. James 1, 6 says, that's a 6. We'll read down to 8. It says, we'll start at James 1, 6 through 8. And this was in my notes. It just, scripture just came to me because the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, it's, you guys that preach, or I may have preachers that are listening, you get that. That's why we saturate ourselves with God's Word. Because when we saturate ourselves with God's Word, He just opens Scripture. I didn't have this in my notes, but here is James 1, 6 through 8. Says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You're unstable in all of your ways. And what's so beautiful about the, if you ever read through and study through the James, is James was a man that was transformed by Jesus Christ. And he was transformed by the Sermon on the Mount. And if you ever read through Sermon on the Mount, I encourage you, Matthew 5 through 7. To do a deep study in that. And Jesus has some harsh saying in there. To be honest with you, if Jesus was here in a physical form, and he didn't mention, say that he was Jesus, and he would came and he would preach the Sermon on the Mount in majority of churches today, he would be kicked out. He sends his preachers, his true men of God, to churches to preach on topics like that. And guess what? Majority of them get kicked out. So it's safe to say that they're kicking Jesus out. But James was a man transformed by the Sermon on the Mount, transformed by Jesus Christ. We are not supposed to be different on Sunday the rest of the week. You put your Sunday morning best on and you go to church. You clean their language up. And then Monday through Saturday, you speak like a sailor. You're looking at pornography or watching garbage on TV that you should be watching all throughout the week. Doing things that you know you're not supposed to be doing. Fornication, adultery, idolatry. Lasciviousness, go to Galatians 5, right? You read through, you can read through a list of works of the flesh, which is sin. But oh, how you think you got God fooled. No, you do not have God fooled. How you put Him on the back burner instead of push them to the front when you need something. It's through God's grace and mercy He tolerates that. But I promise you one day His grace and mercy will end for you. When you die, physically die, I pray that you truly, if you truly don't know Him, yeah, I believe those that live a double life, they're unstable in all their ways, do not truly know Jesus Christ. They don't seek to abide in Him. They could care less. Church is more like a social club than a place to get fed through God's word and to be part of the ministry to reach out to the community, to those that truly need to hear the true gospel. David continues in these other verses here. And we'll go ahead and read 3 through 8. He says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which I has ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visit him? What has I made him little lower than the angels, that have crowned him with the glory and the honor? I made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that has put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord." Actually, that's 9, but I'll read that too. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And David's continuing this recognizing a holy God, a righteous God. He said, I look at the heavens, right? The works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. I could just imagine David as he was that shepherd in that field, and he's reflecting as he was out there with his sheep at night and just looking at the stars in the heavens. Maybe he saw a shooting star or a comet. He's like, "My God, you are almighty. You are great. You stretch the heavens. You place each star right in that location. The moon is so bright. You are so great." I bet he felt small. Because when I look at the stars at night and the moon, guess what? I feel small. I think how big our universe is, how many galaxies are out there in outer space. I feel small because God made all of that. But he's just that. He placed me in my mother's womb. The same God who made the moons and stars is the same God who made me. Wow. And that just is amazing. Don't tell me God's distant. We distant ourselves from Him. He don't distant Himself from us. He wants to be intimate with us. To place us in our mother's womb, you can't get more intimate than that. And David poses this question. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that I visit him?" And David's like, "What am I? What is man that you should even care for us?" And he continues this thought. He said, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, that crowned him with the glory and the honor, that make him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, that has put all things under the feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the paths of the sea." David simply reflecting. He recognized a holy and an almighty God. See, when we put God first, we love Him with our heart, soul, and mind, with everything we got. We start cultivating this life of praise, regardless of circumstance. And this leads to a surrender, a humility to a holy God. And the surrender, humility leads to this praise. To say, I am nothing without You. Without You, I can do nothing. There's a dependent on You. And when we say we depend on You, God, for our needs, instead of say, hey, God, I got this. I'm the one that goes to work and make the money. I'm the one that can make a... Some of us, God is blessed with the ability to make a lot of money. Business savvy. I'm not one of those people. I pray one day that somebody may eventually sponsor this ministry, that I could make my website a whole lot more more friendly and more where I can post maybe videos where you can actually see my face. And I don't ask for money, but hey, if you want to email me and we want to talk, we could talk. If not, that's okay. God's will would be done. But when we are cultivating this life of praise and worship, we're recognizing we are weak and He is strong. I am sinful, He is holy. And we recognize that we want our life to match up with His in every aspect. And when we start doing this, these roots are growing deeper in His holy ground to endure whatever may come our way that can be challenging. I want to tell you, many today, and I believe, don't have this thought pattern. And I pray, as we're closing this out, I pray that you, through this sermon, and of course through this teaching, and through all of these that God has laid on my heart to preach and teach on, that you'll go back over it and you will take notes. And you will center on, especially the scripture that God has laid on my heart to give you. To reflect, am I cultivating a life of praise? Am I cultivating a life of praise regardless of my circumstances? It's easy to praise God when we're on that mountaintop. But what if God removed all of that? What does your mountaintop look like? Maybe it looks like that nice house that you have on that ranch that you truly believe that you have earned through your hard working. I want to tell you, it wasn't for God and your health. You would be that homeless person on the street begging for bread. Oh, how arrogant can we get? I did this. You didn't do nothing. It's through the grace of God and the mercy that He gave you the strength, to maybe the business prowess to make money, the strong back and strong hands and the mental capacity to see that your job It's all God. But oh, how we want to elevate ourselves higher than God and say, hey, we did this. If David was here right now, he would tell you, no, you didn't do nothing. It's all God. If Jesus Christ was here right now, he would tell you, you can do nothing in your own strength. He would tell you, he's the one that gives you the strength to endure every day. And without that strength, you would do nothing. But if God removed all those things, whatever your mountain may look like, your nice home, your cars and everything. If your body was riddled with cancer and you lost everything. In that valley, could you still praise God? Can you still lift your hands up to the Almighty and say, thank you, God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Right, Job? Naked, I came out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return. I didn't hit on Job, but this mindset of Job, right? It's a reflective of the mindset of David. And it echoes through the New Testament too. When we start understanding this life that God has given us, this journey that we are going through, it's all about God's work through our life, not for us to truly benefit from this journey, but for us to reach to those that are around us that God has placed in our life, to give them the hope that's in us. We're truly cultivating a life of praise. We're truly seeking His direction. We're truly rooted in that solid ground that when the storms in life will come, and I promise you, if you haven't experienced them, you will experience them beyond what you can imagine as this world progresses on, especially here in America. I truly believe next year will be a year that will rattle many. People don't want to hear that. They think Donald Trump's going to save the world. I want to tell you, you place your faith in the wrong man. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. I got news for you. Although Donald Trump, I will vote for, because he's, what I hate to use this term, he's the lesser evil, but it's true. I don't view Donald Trump as a Christian, even though he professed to be one. I don't believe it. I believe he's, according to the New American Christian, the New Christianity of America, that all the others, like Taylor Swift professes and Oprah Winfrey professes, all them. Yeah, I believe he's a Christian that way, which are, they're not Christians. They are false. They're new age thought. They redefine who Jesus Christ is. They don't believe in forgiveness. They believe God would be okay with them living in their sin and not having to repent of it. No, that is not the gospel. That is another gospel. But we are supposed to have our faith firmly placed in the God who created the heavens and the earth. As David here express in this Psalm 8. The one that is created the heavens, the work of the fingers, the moon, the stars. He has created everything. He is not a distant God. He wants to hear from His children. And I pray today that if you do not have this mindset, this God is first in my life and everything is second, I pray today that you reflect on this and you recognize the first part of this, of cultivating a life of praise regardless of circumstances, is to realize He is first. And when we start realizing he's first, and it moves into the other parts, the surrender, the humbleness, the reverence, and then seeking His direction every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this opportunity, Lord, just get into Your Word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as this message goes out, it reaches into somebody's heart. I know Your Word will not go void. I know it will reach in somebody's heart, Lord. But I pray, I know there will be people that will hear this. They will not like it. And they will reject it. God, I pray over their hearts right now. God, I pray, Lord, that You go into their life. You rattle them. You shake them. Even if they may have tuned out, I pray over their lives right now. I pray that You rattle them, You shake them. If You have to remove everything from their life for them to look up and say, hey, You're first. Lord, I pray, Lord, that Your will, Your guidance, that happens. Because this life is so temporary. And eternity is forever. Their souls are too precious. I may never meet that person, but You know who they are. I'm just a humble man here seeking Your direction. Lord, I pray over our nation. I pray over the direction that it's going. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You give us strength to weather out these storms that are coming. This recrafting of our nation. A reshaping, remolding of a nation that now firmly proclaims a nation above God. Instead of under God. A nation that wants to be a God. They want to exert their authority over the true God. God, we pray over our nation. We pray, Lord, that You raise up men and women with boldness to stand on Your truth. Guide us in these hard times. Strengthen us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, help our roots grow deep into the ground. Through all the storms that will be coming our way. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name. Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Once again, if you need to reach out to me, you can reach out through me through this website. Also through Facebook. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram much, but you can contact me through that way. And some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you can message me or call me that way. Y'all have a good rest of your day, your weekend, or your week. Bye.